Today I'm going to share with you the thought from the great theologian, Dr. Seuss, who came out with a book called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And I think you might get something out of this today. If not, just sit there and look like you're happy, okay? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you this morning. It's 10 to 11 right now, so it's still pretty early. We're not even been in church for 1 hour yet. Are you tired? Do you want to stand up for just a second? You all okay? Okay, how many give me, would you just give me, it's 10 till, how many will give me 10 minutes this morning to preach this message? Let me see, give me 10 minutes. We don't have anybody. This is crazy. Will you give me 5 minutes? Well, because you know what? You know I'm going to take just whatever I need to get the job done, right? I'm not going to cheat you on what God gave me to give you today. Amen. In 1957, in Red Book Magazine, came the first story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. 1966, it became a cartoon. In the year 2000, Jim Carrey starred in The Grinch That Stole Christmas. In 2007, the National Educators Association announced that it's the top teacher's book for children. And the Christmas story, if you just watch the story, you'll probably enjoy the movie. But I watched it and picked out some spiritual principles that was in this movie that I think could be applied to our lives, and especially this time of a year. For example, let me just give you 3, 4, 5 real quick. Number one, despite the Grinch's initial isolation, he still finds joy and acceptance in the WHO community that welcomed him into their community. He finally found acceptance. And I'm thinking, what's the spiritual application? Maybe there's something there about when people are looking for a home, or they're looking for community, or they're looking for a neighbor, they're looking for a friend. Wouldn't it be great if we as Christians could reach out and let them know you're welcome at Solid Rock. We'd love to have you as a part of our church family. So it's a part of belonging to something, or fellowshipping with something, or being a part of a family. The second thing I thought about was the selflessness and generosity. The Who's in Whoville celebrate Christmas with joy, even without their material possessions. With all their gifts and trees and everything stolen, they still celebrate Christmas. And I think that reflects the Christian attitude that we can worship God and praise God, you know, and understand the true meaning of giving, even if we don't have a whole lot, we can still have a good time. Amen. And then number three is overcoming bitterness. The Grinch's bitterness and anger are overcome by what? The love and the joy of the people of Whoville, who celebrate Christmas despite their surroundings. And then, of course, there's the message of transformation and redemption. And we know that the Grinch's heart grows what? Three sizes when he experiences the true spirit of Christmas. And that talks about, I believe that depicts about the transformation that Christ can make in our hearts when we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then number five, just real quickly, one of the amazing truths about this movie, and we must never forget, is that light always overcomes darkness. Can I hear that? An amen. Light always overcomes darkness. And so in just a moment, I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to share a little scripture there. I'm going to share with you who the first Grinch was. Anybody want to take a guess who the first Grinch of Christmas was? King Herod, right. He attempted to steal Christmas, but how many knows he failed? Amen. So the movie opens. Let me see if I can get rid of how do I get rid of this? Oh, somebody help me. How do you get rid of your recorder? Somebody help me. Got it without Android. Thank you. Woo, okay. Are you still with me? Okay, I'm trying to find the right page here. Okay. And so King Herod is the first original Grinch that tried to steal Christmas. And It's interesting that the movie opens up with everybody in Whoville partying, celebrating, having a great time because it's Christmas. It's the joyous time of the season again. And they love the holidays. They're going about their holiday preparations. There's only one problem. Just north of Whoville is a cave in which the Grinch lives. Y'all remember the story, right? He lives in this cave and he's a very negative person and he hates Christmas and he detests all of the partying, the merriment, and the joy that's going on down in Whoville. And instead of filling his days with gift wrapping and instead of filling his days with joy and singing and having a great time, he sits in his cave and he rages about the Christmas spirit. Finally, he decides, I've had enough. So what does he do? He has to stop Christmas. He's got to stop all these people from having so much fun at Christmas time. What can we do to stop the celebration? And so he can't handle another Christmas with the Whoville people having a party. And so he decides, I'm going to ruin it for the Whos. What's he do? He goes down into Whoville, has a big bag, and he steals all their Christmas trees, their Christmas decorations. He steals all their gifts. He puts them in a bag, and he takes them to the mount, the top of Mount Crumpet. Okay, are you with me? Mount Crumpet. And I've got a water here. I don't know. This might be last week's water. That's okay. I'll drink it. Thank you. It's never been opened. And decides he's going to throw the gifts and everything, thinking that he's going to destroy Christmas by ruining and destroying all their gifts and everything. But at the last minute, the Grinch hears a sound that he's never heard before. He hears the rejoicing. He hears the singing. He hears the party-like spirit that's going on down in Whoville. And he's thinking, this is weird. How can they be so happy when they don't have anything to be happy about? Yeah, how many knows this will preach this morning? I mean, any one of you could stand up here and preach this morning. You know, they're coming together despite the fact that their homes have been ransacked and their gifts have been destroyed and their Christmas things are all gone. I want to show you a little video here. I don't know how long you guys at home can watch it, but we can watch it here. They seem to have a divine hate for us to turn off all our videos now. But if you're here, you can see it. And if you're at home, you can watch it from the movie. It's just a short clip. That's okay, Dara.
Can I touch it? Touch the door.
Do it for me, Steve.
Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season.
Top of the day.
Flatfoot.
Now please, don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason.
Hey kids, here's a present for you. Be sure to run real fast with it now. Come on, double time, let's go. Move.
It could be that his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small.
I got to read that poem to you one more time because that's pretty good. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on right. It could be perhaps his shoes were too tight. But I think that mostly the likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. You know why the Grinch hated Christmas? Because his heart was too small. I wonder how many people today hate Christmas. And we heard from Lou yesterday morning in the prayer service talk about how the Christmas season, there's so many people that are lonely. They're by themselves. Their suicide is at a high during the Christmas season. And I think what I want to ask you this morning is, how's your heart? How big is your heart? How small has your heart grown? And I want to look at a real-life Grinch here in Matthew chapter 2. And let's see why Herod hated Christmas so much. Now, Herod was born as an innocent baby, wasn't he? He was pure, clean, innocent. But somewhere in his life, he got twisted. He got confused. He got all messed up. And as he grew up, his conscience got seared. And he became a hateful man. And his heart began to shrink on the inside of him. And I want to give you this morning five pictures. Stick with me real quickly. I'm going to give you five pictures of King Herod that we see just in Matthew chapter 2. Number one, we see a picture of a disturbed king. He's a disturbed king. Matthew 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him." When the King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Everybody say, a disturbed king. He heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When Herod learns from the Magi that a new king is coming, he gets disturbed. He gets jealous. He gets full of fear. In fact, the word disturbed there in the Greek is putting it mildly. The Greek actually means he became terrified. He became distressed. He became agitated because he was wicked and he was evil. Let me explain a little bit about Herod this morning in case all you know is that he was a king. Let me tell you, he ruled in Palestine for 40 years, and for the most part of his reign, he managed to keep peace only because he ruled with fear. If you did anything he didn't like, you were put to death. He was insanely paranoid. Right after he took the throne, he took the entire Jewish Sanhedrin, 70 of the most influential religious leaders of Jerusalem, and he put them to death. But he didn't stop there. During the course of his reign, he had two of his oldest sons killed because he saw them as a threat to his kingdom. He killed his wife, Mariamne, even though she was his favorite of his dozen or so wives. Why? Because he thought she and her son were conspiring to take over the throne. He also killed his brother, his mother, and her uncle. Augustus Caesar said about Herod, he said, it would have been better to be Herod's pig than to be one of his children, because Herod was part Jew and he didn't eat pork. He wouldn't slaughter a pig, but he didn't have a problem slaughtering his own family. Now, there were some positive things about Herod. If you'll bear with me just a minute, let me give you a few things that were positive about him. But remember, inside he's wicked. How many knows you can't always look at the outward and say, oh, that's a good person? Just because somebody does good things doesn't make them good on the inside. Can I get a better amen? Amen. You see, Herod did some good things. Here's some of the things he did. He financed an extensive building program. He built roads and beautiful palaces. He financed the rebuilding of the temple and made it one of the wonders of the first century. Herod was very wealthy, and at times he could be generous. One time he melted down his own gold plates to feed starving people during a famine. He had given the Jewish people significant tax cuts two different times. But for the most part, Herod was an egotistical, power-hungry leader. Now, these magi, these men come from the east. Remember the story. They come from a far distance. They probably don't know much about Herod. They probably maybe not even ever heard of Herod before. And they innocently, they came to him. And they said, we've seen the star that signifies the birth of a king, of an important king. Do you know where we might find him? Then it says in verse 3, when the king heard this, he was disturbed. How many knows the birth of Jesus still disturbs a lot of people today? How many knows people can't stand the Christmas carols? People can't stand the Merry Christmas words. It still disturbs a lot of people today, especially those that want to protect their own little personal kingdom. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. It only threatens those who want to live for themselves. Amen? Jesus came with a... Listen to the perspective of Jesus. He said to those who are greedy, he said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. To the ambitious person, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. To the prideful person, he says, unless you humble yourself and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The agnostics cannot stand when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because they think there's many ways. There's many ways to heaven. There's many doors. There's many avenues to heaven. And the Grinch was disturbed when the people of Whoville were having a good time at Christmas, even though their gifts and everything was taken away from them. And then number two, the second picture I want to show you of the deceit of the king Herod is he's a deceitful king. Number one, he's a disturbed king. Number two, he's a deceitful king. We read in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. When Herod had called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. O you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler shall come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, remember, he's a deceitful king, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him also. How many knows that was a lie? He was being deceitful. He was trying to impress those wise men that he wanted to come and worship Jesus. Listen, there are a lot of people like Herod that take on a fake allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can fake it. They can fake it through a service. They can fake it in life. Their real agenda has nothing to do with serving God. It just has to do with moving forward and getting further ahead in life. And Jesus... Just because somebody calls himself a Christian, just because somebody quotes the Bible, just because somebody knows a little bit of the Word of God, doesn't mean you should swallow hook, line, and sinker everything they say. Amen. I read about a retired minister that said about a popular TV preacher who would say, "Send me $1,000 and God will bless you." The preacher wrote a letter to that TV preacher and he said, "God's already blessed me. Now it's your turn. Send me $1,000 and let God bless you." He's still waiting for a response. Later on, that particular TV preacher was the target of several media investigations because of the abuse of finances. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people that can talk the talk, but they don't know how to walk the walk. Just because somebody says, "Praise the Lord" in church, don't think that they're super spiritual. Just because when I say, "Can I hear an amen?" and you say amen, that doesn't make you super spiritual. Don't listen or don't check the fruit of their life. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Check the fruit. Is there fruit in their life? Amen. Don't get sucked in by deception. These wise men, they knew something on the inside told them that he didn't really want to come to Bethlehem to worship the Lord. They knew something on the inside of him. And here's one of the things I want to ask you this morning is are you sometimes deceiving people by your actions? How many know sometimes we can appear to be spiritual? Certain times in our life we can be spiritual. There's certain times we can be Mr. Goody Two Shoes. There's sometimes that we're not very consistent in our walk with the Lord. Amen. And so I just want to help you this morning and see, you know, do you guard your language at church, but when you're out there in the world, anything comes out your mouth? Huh? Are you good at watching your words in church, but when you get out there in the world, how does profanity work in your life? Are you looking up scriptures at church, but clicking on internet pornography at home? Are you willing to sing his praises at church, but choosing entertainment that is detrimental to your spiritual growth at home? Woo, good preaching, Pastor. This separates the men from the boys, doesn't it? Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. I think we have that scripture. Mark 7. Maybe we don't. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. You know, I think probably, if I'm being truthful, every one of us probably struggle with hypocrisy sometimes. If I'm being truthful, we probably all, from time to time, struggle with hypocrisy. Here's the thing. Recognize it and work on it at being less hypocritical. Because we can all easily fall into that trap. But I'm not going to go around confessing I'm a hypocrite. I'm the biggest hypocrite in the church. But I will tell you that there are times that we may be hypocrites, but we seek forgiveness and we walk the straight path again. Amen. We don't stay in that hypocrisy. Amen? Amen. And so, number three, we're moving right along here. Number three, he was a disturbed king. He was a deceived king. He was a deceitful king. And now he's a deceived king. He's deceived because of the Magi. Listen to this. Matthew 2, 9 through 12. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw him, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Notice, they entered the house, they saw the child, they bowed down, and they worshiped, and then they opened up their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, oh, I love this last part here. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Ha ha! Ha ha, Grinch! You didn't stop me from worshiping the Lord today, Grinch. Your attitude and your threats didn't stop me from coming to church and worshiping God. They were wise enough. That's why they were called wise men, because they came to Jesus and bowed down and worshiped him. And the Bible says they went home a different way. I've said this time and time again. Anytime you have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go home a different way. Amen. You can't go. You can't leave the same way you came. Ooh, good preaching, Pastor. And by the way, they went the way God told them to go. They went the way God told them to go. When Herod, chapter 2 and verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. Herod the deceiver became deceived. I said Herod the deceiver became deceived. How many knows God will only let you pretend for so long? You might think you're getting by with it right now. In fact, how many had a Christian mama? Let me see your hand. If you had a Christian mama being raised up. My mama's favorite verse when I became a teenager and started driving and would stay out till midnight. My curfew was midnight. It didn't matter what night of the week it was always midnight. And my mom, her favorite scripture was, son, I can't be with you everywhere you go. And I can't tell what you're doing when you're out there all the time. But listen, be sure your sins will find you out. I tell you what, she threatened me with that scripture so many times. I was afraid to do anything bad because I knew my sins was going to find me out. And mama was going to reward me for those sins. I didn't have fear of God. I had fear of mama. Anybody been there? Yeah. Be sure. That's in the book of Numbers. That's Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. But look at Galatians 6 and 7. Be not misled. You cannot mock God. You will always harvest what you plant. You know what that means? Whatever you sow, you're going to get. Now, you may not get it tomorrow, any more than a farmer gets his soybeans the day after he plants them. Any more than the farmer plants his corn on Monday and expects to go out and harvest it at the end of the week. But it says, be sure of this. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. A lot of people praying for crop failure, huh? Praying for crop failure, Lord. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit of God will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let us not get tired of doing what is good, and just the right time, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I could stop right there, and it's been a good sermon. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's how he also reaps. It may not happen overnight. You may think you got by with it. How many knows David thought he got by with his adulterous act? David thought he got by with his murderous act. But how many knows later on came the prophet of God and said, what's this? What's all this about? You will reap what you sow. Look at somebody and say, you're reaping what you're sowing, honey. Number four, he was a vengeful king. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. Matt, you've never heard your name mentioned so many times in one church service, have you? Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, 17, and 18. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. You talk about vengeance. You talk about a madman. You talk about an idiot. You talk about a guy that didn't have common sense. He thought, you know, I fear this king of the Jews. I fear the birth of this Christ. I fear that there's going to come somebody after me that's going to take my rule away from me. So what I'll do is I'll just kill. I'm not sure the exact date he was born, but I'm sure if I go 2 years old and under, I'll get them all. And he ordered a decree that every child 2 years and under be slaughtered. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Can I tell you, you can't get much worse than killing innocent children. I don't think you can. I don't think you can get any worse than killing innocent babies. His heart was too small. It was filled with vengeance and hatred and jealousy. And he would go to no end to protect himself or his kingdom. I remember Jesus said in John chapter 15, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you too. Did you get that? Don't think it's strange if the world hates you, because the world hated what Jesus represented. Amen. We're not always going to be accepted by everybody. And that doesn't matter. I'm concerned that I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. Praise God. In America, even people, you know, are opposed to the good news of Jesus. Do you remember when, was it Target a few years ago that said, we're not going to allow any Christmas carols in our store? They might have allowed Christmas songs like I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas or one of those songs, but they wouldn't allow any Christian Christmas songs to be played in their store. I remember there was one business that said, you cannot tell our customers Merry Christmas. Do not tell them Merry Christmas. You say Happy Holidays. You know, what are people afraid of? What's wrong with our nation? What's wrong with people? Amen? No Christmas music? I love what we've done here for the last 2 weeks. The last three Sundays, we've had Christmas songs every Sunday. And I appreciate that. We didn't talk about that, Dwayne. But I appreciate you doing that, because it just helps us to remind us that Jesus has come. But guess what? He's coming again. And for those of you that don't realize it, you better open your eyes and turn on your spiritual ears, because Jesus is coming soon. You don't have to have a PhD in theology to know that things are about to be wrapped up in this world, and the church is about to be taken out of this world. Jesus is about to come, whether you believe in the pre-trib or the post-trib or the mid-trib. It doesn't matter which one. He's coming. He's coming. I believe in the pan trib. It'll all pan out. Several years ago, in the county government of Broward County, Florida, told a church that they couldn't have the words "Jesus is the reason for the season" included in their public Christmas display. The church filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court claiming that they had the First Amendment right to display those words. Judge Williams agreed with the church's free speech argument and allowed them to keep the words in their display as long as the church phrased it, "Calvary Chapel says Jesus is the reason for the season." Everybody goes, "Ah." When you're tempted to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, or to say Jesus is the reason for the season, you better remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. He said, "If anyone's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of them." Amen. I'll be ashamed of them. Never be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. All right. But listen, let me just give you one more side of this. Let's not get vengeful or hateful towards those that maybe don't see it like we do. You understand? We don't fight evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. So when somebody says, "Well, I don't believe in that Merry Christmas stuff," you know, don't get in their face and scream Merry Christmas. You know, just keep an attitude of Christ. Don't return vengeance for vengeance. Amen? We don't return evil for evil. When the Grinch stole all the Christmas presents in an attempt to stop the celebration in Whoville, they still sang songs. I love this part. They still enjoyed getting together. Their world was falling apart. Everything they had left them, had been stolen from them. But they still got together and celebrated, and they had a party, and they enjoyed getting together. It was their joyful reaction to their situation that caused the Grinch heart to grow 3 times larger. He was watching their reaction, and when he saw it, his heart grew 3 times larger. Let me ask you this morning, how's your heart growing today? Since you've been a Christian, has your heart grown? Has your heart grown from week to week, or is your heart shrinking? Maybe your heart's 3 times smaller than it should be. Or do you have a big heart? In the same way, we need to let the love of Christ shine through our attitudes, even when we come across people who are hateful to us. Number 5, this is the last picture of King Herod, the original Grinch. A dead king. A dead king. Notice, we have a disturbed, a deceitful, a deceived, a vengeful, and now dead. Worship team, would you come on up here and prepare to get ready as we talk about this one. In Matthew chapter 2, please listen as we continue with the word today. Matthew chapter 2, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, "Get up, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." Listen, folks, you can't kill Jesus. You're not going to kill the church. The gates of hell will never prevail. I don't care who's in political office. I don't care who the president, the governor, or who's funding all this is in office. You cannot stop the church. COVID cannot stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The church will continue to march forward because the church is triumphant. Amen. Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. Isn't it amazing that the Grinch's heart was changed, but Herod's heart never was changed? He was always after something, always trying to grow his own kingdom. He never worshiped the Christ that came to the earth to give his life and salvation for sinners. Listen to this. Jewish historian Josephus, I love to read Josephus because he thinks from a historical viewpoint that we don't see in the Bible. But the Jewish historian Josephus relates that Herod died a gruesome death, convulsions, worms, digestive tract problems, kidney failure, and gangrene. Herod realized when he died that no one would be coming to his funeral to mourn for him. So he summoned all the principal heads of the Jewish families in Palestine to come to Jerusalem. He had them locked up in the horse racing grounds and gave orders to his sister that upon his death, all were to be executed. The executions would guarantee that the whole nation would mourn at the time of his death. Fortunately, when he died, his sister released the captives and allowed them to return home. You cannot stop the church. Every one of us may be going through something this Christmas. You may be fighting the battle of loneliness. You may be fighting the battle of lack. Maybe you wanted to buy Christmas presents for everybody, but you're just not in that place to do it today. Maybe you're finding out that your son or your daughter can't come to your house this Christmas. Or maybe you found out that you're just not going to get together like you always have done in the past. Listen, I pray that this season that you will realize that Jesus gives us joy. You know, what's it say? What lasts for a night? Sadness, sorrow only lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The sadness, the stuff that we're going through right now is only temporary, but joy comes in the morning. And with that promise, I get up every day thinking, Lord, today's going to be better than yesterday. Today's the day, the Lord, I will be blessed today beyond my expectations. And so I just ask that, Lord, would you enlarge our hearts three times larger than what they were when we came into this building today? Father, I'm asking you that you would open our eyes and help us to see there's goodness in this time of season. Instead of being upset over the crowds and the traffic, the long lines, the hustle and bustle and the shuffle of shoppers. God, help us to just not get lost in all of that, but keep our eyes upon you. And that because you came, we have life more abundantly today. Thank you, Lord, that we're not like Herod. Nobody here today is going to be like Herod. We're not going to be obsessed with this power or obsessed with this notoriety or obsessed even with ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to make room in our hearts for Jesus. We make room in our hearts for Jesus today. James Martin tells a story. He took a trip to the Holy Land. And while he was there, he went to one of the little markets and he bought these little figurines of Jesus in a manger and Mary and Joseph and some horses and some donkeys and the wise men. He bought all the little nativity set for his Sunday school class. It was all carved out of wood right there in Bethlehem. And when he began his trip home, he had to go through security at Tel Aviv Airport. Very strict security. Each figure was carefully scrutinized, x-rayed, examined. Martin asked the agent, he said, why are you being so diligent about these little animals? You know what he said? Security officer said, we must make sure there is nothing explosive in them. Let me tell you something. The Christmas story is explosive. It is dynamite. The Christmas story, these little figurines may not mean a whole lot, but the moral of the story is the Christmas message is dynamite. It will set people free. It'll blow that junk out of your life that tells you in bondage, those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups. One touch from Jesus can turn your life around. Worried about tomorrow? One touch from Jesus can turn your life around. You're worried about your marriage? One touch from Jesus can turn your marriage around. You're worried about your future? One touch of the Lord can turn, explode on the inside of you, and turn your life around. Somebody shout amen. I'm going to close with this scripture today. If you want to stand to your feet, just stay with me for just a few more minutes, but stand to your feet. John chapter 3, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, verses 16 through 21. Everybody knows verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever, everybody shout, I'm a whoever. Whoever believes in him. I got to go back and say that again. Whoever believes in him. Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Let us see this scripture right now. Whoever believes in you shall have everlasting life. Say it again. I'm a whoever. whoever shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. And because of that, their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of that his deeds will be exposed. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. God gave us a wonderful gift at Christmas. Many are still rejecting that gift. Many are still denying the reality of that gift. But I want to ask you this morning, will you make room in your heart today for Jesus to grow? Has your heart grown since you've been in church? Has your heart, as you mature in the Lord, has your heart matured in the Lord? As you've grown in Christ, has your heart grown? Or is it still like a stone? Or is it still shriveled up three times too small? I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're willing to make room for Christ in your heart, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. We're not going to force you. We're not going to embarrass you. But we will give you an opportunity to recommit, to dedicate your life to Jesus, and start this season, start this year off with a brand new life in Christ Jesus. Allow me to give you one more quote from the movie. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming at all. It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, and it came without boxes or bags. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't thought of before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you're in this house today, please just bow your heads for just one moment, please. Nobody's going to come up and steal your wallet or your purse. Just close your eyes. Because I want to talk to you for just personally real quick here. At one time, you knew Jesus. At one time, you welcomed Jesus into your life. You lived by the law of God. But you've been deceived. You've turned away. You've grown cold in your relationship with the Lord. You're not where you know you need to be with Jesus. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's no accident that you're here today. It's no accident that you got up, cleaned up, and came to church today. It was all part of the plan of God to get you into his house so that you could make a positive decision for him. Yes, you can walk out and say no to him. You can walk out and go right back to your original lifestyle. But you've heard the word. You now have a responsibility to do the word. You've heard it. And the Bible talks in Matthew chapter 7 about two guys that built houses. One built on the sand, one built on the rock. The one that was built on the sand, when the storm came, it blew over because it was built on the sand. The one that was built on the rock, the same storm came to his house, but it stood. And the Bible says the reason it stood was because he not only heard the word on that Sunday morning, December 18th, 16th, 15th, he heard the word on December, but he didn't do the word. He didn't act upon it. And his house and everything he had fell apart. Not because Jesus sent the storm, but because we did not follow in his steps and be a doer of his word. So this morning, if you're in this house today and you say, Pastor Rhodes, today's my day of salvation. I want to get it right today. I don't want to put it off any longer. I've been running for God. I've been running from him. And you may be here this morning, you said, I've never had an experience with God. I've never been born again. I've never been what you call saved by the grace of God. Today's your day as well. What a good time of the year to come to Jesus, to receive Jesus like the wise men did, to receive Jesus like the Magi, to welcome Him and to open your hearts up to Him. If you're in this house today and any one of those invitations applies to you, would you just slip your hand up? Let me see your hand. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else in the building willing to lift your hand up? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you. Holy Spirit, just minister to these people today, Lord. I just ask you to minister to us. Minister to us today, Lord. Never let me go, Lord. Never let me go. Anybody else? I need to get right with the Lord today. I don't want to put it off another minute. I don't want to put it off another day. I want to make today the day that I say yes to Jesus. As the worship team sings, if you raised your hand, if you're standing next to somebody that raised their hand this morning, would you walk down the aisle with them so they won't be walking alone? There was a few people raised their hand this morning. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want you to take a stand for the Lord and boldly walk this aisle today and say, yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Come on. Come on. If you're standing next to somebody, come on. Don't just let them stand there. Don't just let them stand there. Bring them down with you this morning. Bring them down with you. Don't be ashamed. Today's your day. Today is your day. Come on, don't be ashamed. You raised your hand. You raised your hand and said, today's my day. We worship you, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. We worship you today, Lord.